Hello, Set Apart Saints. This is David, and I just published my Revelation Timeline Decoded book. And what I'm doing is going through basic videos to explain the key concepts that I cover in the book. These are extremely low tech. I'm busy working on the next book, which may be called Revelation Victory Decoded. It shows you how the enemy has hidden the victory of the saints that's described in Revelation 19 and 20. But in this video, I want to talk about Messiah, as he's the primary subject of Revelation. We tend to focus on the prophecies of the seals, trumpets, bowls, two witnesses. We can miss the glory of our beloved Messiah in the scriptures, and it's declaring it over and over again. I mean, it's, I guess, the great loss. You know, when people assign the prophecies to the future, that removes the victories of Messiah during the last 1900 years. And you see that in the book. You see the victories that took place even when the saints were being killed by the Roman emperors. And it says that, you know, they loved their lives not unto the death. They spoke truth. They declared Messiah, and they were a bold witness. You see the victory of the Protestant Reformation. You see countries being taken back, the control of them being taken back from the Antichrist beast popes. So you see that played out through the historical narrative. You see the glory of Messiah, but when you don't understand the historical fulfillment, you miss out. You're not seeing it. You're not seeing how Messiah has been working through his saints for the last 1900 years. And that's just such a great loss. As I worked on this book, I mean, I rejoice in the fulfillment of the prophecies, and I grieve because the saints are missing out on so much. They're missing the tangible faith, meaning the tangible witness of their faith. They're missing seeing how Messiah has fulfilled these prophecies in exacting detail, and that is his glory. That is his glory. It's proclaiming his glory. Yes, it's about him dying on the cross and rising again and ascending to heaven and promising to return, but the fulfillment of the prophecies in Revelation give tangible evidence for us to see that he has been working through his saints. So it's such a great loss. But the focus of this book is Messiah. And you know, John was the disciple that Messiah loved. John was faithful, even when Messiah was delivered up to be questioned by the Jewish leaders. He found a way to be close to Messiah during that time while Peter basically hid himself and eventually denied knowing Messiah. When Messiah was close to death, he gave John the honor of caring for his mother. And the disciples were told that Messiah had risen. John outran Peter to get to the tomb, to see his friend, to see his Messiah. John is the only disciple who was not killed. Everybody else was crucified, slain with a sword, all sorts of manner of horrible deaths, but John was preserved. And it's John to whom Messiah entrusts his apocalyptic vision to be able to see the fulfillment. And so John starts out that way. He says, "Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." So John proclaimed Messiah's atoning work right up front. And I love that it's not just about prophecy. It's about Messiah and what he did for us. He says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." In my Olivet Discourse, I have a chapter about Messiah setting up his kingdom. Daniel told us that the Son of God would set up the kingdom in the days of the four beast kingdoms. And he did that in the days, obviously, of the Roman beast kingdom. So he's not setting up his kingdom after everything's completed. He already set it up, and it's been growing into a great mountain of people. It's not final. We're not there yet. We're not at the final point of the kingdom, but that's what the whole story is about. And so in that kingdom is his kings and priests, his leaders of his ecclesia. So that's what John is referring to. The esteem of Messiah is declared at the opening of the sealed judgments. It says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look upon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold," love that word, "behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Keep that in mind, that the prayers of the saints are gathered up into golden vials and poured out. That's gives you a new perspective. Love it. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Hallelujah. "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and of the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Hallelujah. Gotta love it. There's the praise. So, you know, you might even just go through Revelation and read all these praise verses because they're just epic. That's the whole focus of Revelation. And John continues, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And then in Revelation 22, the ending of the book, Messiah testifies, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the church. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." I love it. That is the focus of Revelation, for Messiah is worthy to be praised. When you see how most of the prophecies in Revelation have been fulfilled in exacting detail during the last 1900 years, you see the glory of Messiah. The historical fulfillment validates the authority of Scripture and the deity of Messiah. And that's why the enemy has worked so hard to hide the truth about the fulfillment and has promoted the false futuristic explanations, which blind people to the glorious fulfillment. It hides the glory of Messiah. Sadly, the enemy has been very effective, so that most believers don't understand the historical fulfillment of the 7th book of Daniel 9 and most of Revelation. And that removes a powerful witness to the world about the deity of Messiah to people who they need hope in the gospel, but they need something tangible to believe in. And so Revelation, the fulfillment of it, gives them that tangible evidence. So when the set-apart saints are able to explain the fulfillment of Revelation, they will cast down the power of the enemy over people. And they'll set the captives free so that a countless multitude of people will be redeemed for the kingdom, for the glory of our Heavenly Father and beloved Messiah. That's what's at stake. It's not just about understanding the fulfillment of Revelation. It's about providing evidence to the world of the validity of Scripture and the deity of Messiah. And that's really the focus of the book. Is once you get that, besides the 70th week of Daniel, which foretold the exact time that Messiah would appear to start his ministry, it told you when he would die in the middle of the 70th week, and he rose again and he ascended to heaven. And that all happened in the 70th week of Daniel. So that's the one prophecy that pointed to him. So it's very important to understand, to affirm, to validate the authority of Scripture and the deity of Messiah. And Revelation is the same way. When the church, can you even imagine? Imagine this. I want you to visualize this. If all the top pastors, you know, every pastor around the world was proclaiming the true fulfillment of Revelation, they were proclaiming to the world through videos, through movies like Left Behind, Only the Truth, and it was on the major screens. If they were proclaiming the truth of the fulfillment of Revelation, what would take place? Can't even imagine. I can't imagine what would happen if all the pastors were proclaiming the truth about the fulfillment of Revelation. If they were declaring showing the world the historical fulfillment, the glory of the fulfillment, which was foretold in the first century and fulfilled in exacting detail, how many people would come to faith because you proved the authority of the Scriptures and the deity of Messiah? That would be amazing. And that's my hope for the future, that'll take place. That's my prayer. So, and I talk about that more in my book. So I've included a link to the book in the description. You can access the printable Revelation Fulfillment Chart and Summary Study PDFs at Revelation Timeline Decoded. Love y'all. Shalom.